Hey, Ghost Machine fans, this one's for you. Welcome to the third episode of the Ghost Machine Fans Podcast. There were no new releases last week, so this is our first deep dive episode. And it's going to be about the book that started it all. That's Geiger, Volume 1, the first three issues. As usual, I am Nick, but I have a very special guest with me today. Our first actual live co-host, Snoggles.
I have a name.
You don't want me to call you Snoggles?
But then everyone knows.
Well, but then if they know your real name, then they really know.
Oh, did we not? Are we not using real names?
No, we are. We are. Yeah.
It's hysterical.
Okay. Well, that's what I call her. This young lady is my fiance. She is part of the we that is Ghost Machine Fans. Hear ye. I am a very lucky fellow. So, Snoggle, give us your comic book autobiography.
I'm not certain what you mean by that, sir.
Well, you read a comic book. Do you read a lot of comic books?
Not a lot.
When was the last time you read a comic book before Geiger?
Oh my gosh, it's been way too long.
Like a really long time?
Yeah.
Like when we were like first dating?
No.
Okay.
Probably like 2 or 3 years after I had Bruce, I was reading a lot of them on the iPad.
Oh, okay.
You put them on there for me and then I would read them. But I've been in like a fantasy novel kick and sci-fi, as you know.
So is it fair to say that you're not like a novice to reading comic books, but you have absolutely no idea what Ghost Machine is?
I have no idea.
Okay, cool. And you don't know who Geoff Johns, Gary Frank, Brad Anderson, and Rob Lee are, right?
This might be sacrilegious, but no.
No, it's not. That's not the kind of fan base this is. We like those fellas quite a bit. And they support our show, and they support the fans quite a bit. And they're who are responsible for this book. Geoff Johns and Gary Frank created it, but just so you understand, Geoff typically does most of the writing, and Gary does most of the art. Although in comic books, you know, those things overlap quite a bit more from a creative standpoint. Brad Anderson does the color art. The reason we emphasize that is because he does all the color art for the different Ghost Machine books. And it's really a character in and of itself. It's something we can talk about. And Rob Lee does the letters. Got to always mention how important the letters are. People do not realize it is an art form in amongst itself. Just wanted to put that out there. That's the book that we're going to be talking about today. And the reason I'm excited about it, to have Snoggle here to talk about it, is because when a new comic book line like this comes out, it is such a rare thing for it to happen in such a coordinated manner as it has this time, to where it's a really great opportunity to put a book like this in the hands of somebody that doesn't regularly read comics, because it can put them in a position to keep coming back. Because as we know, three ongoing series just came out a couple of weeks ago. That's what our last episode was all about. So we do want to do a couple of things before we dive into this book. And that is, we have some shout outs. We have some updates. A lot related to the Facebook group that I talked about last time. That's the Ghost Machine Fans Comic Book Fan Facebook group. Go ahead and check that out. If you haven't joined it, please do. Last I saw, the admin, Mr. Adam, he said, I think we were like 16 people away from 500 members. He's putting out welcoming messages of like 15 to 25 people out multiple times a day. It's really, really cool. Something else I wanted to point out about that group is they're talking all day long. People are putting out theories. People are having really healthy conversation about all these new books. It's almost as exciting as the launch of these books to see the community that's building around them. There's just so many cool people. I had 1 hour last week, Snoggle, where I talked to people in 3 hemispheres and 4 countries. And I can tell you, one was half my age. One was almost double my age.
Well, since we're sweet bragging, I went to West Virginia last week.
Did you
lucky me.
Did you go to see Ghost Machine fans?
I certainly did not. I went to the mall.
Okay. Wow, that's, you go all the way to West Virginia just for the mall. Yeah. They have a good mall.
Oh, yeah, Crossroads Mall.
Oh, my. But that's the thing. That's how polarizing this thing is. And that's why, you know, I handed you something from 2021.
2021?
Yeah. So
this didn't just come out?
No, this is not part of all these exciting things. Well, it is part of all these exciting things that we're talking about. Oh. However, this is the origin point. This is like patient zero for Ghost Machine, because it's the first series that came out and it's all continuing on now. So as you've been roped into doing this with me, I have to start from the beginning. And the way that our format goes is we always talk about the books that came out the week before. And if we don't, then we talk about a character or a run or something like this. And this is the first time that we're going to do that because nothing new came out last week.
So if this came out in 2021, it's all new to me because it is not 2021.
Correct.
I'm pretty sure it's 2024.
Correct.
Am I going to have a lot of catching up to do?
That's a really, really good question. And that's what's super cool about the point that I was hoping to make by having you on to see if this was a valid entry point for a new person into this universe. Because this is six issues. And then after that, if you wanted to just keep reading Geiger, you would just have to read two other issues and then start reading the new series. If you wanted to catch up with the whole universe of Ghost Machine, you would have to read those issues I just mentioned, six issues of Junkyard Joe, and two oversized issues. One that's 80 pages. It's actually called an 80-page giant. Another one that is about 60 pages, and it's a combination of short stories about the books that just came out. So you actually could probably, because you read all the time, you could probably catch all the way up to where we are now in an afternoon or a weekend.
Oh, yeah. So am I going to be doing that soon, I'm assuming?
Not in an afternoon or a weekend, because you're already three issues in. So you just got to, you know, we'll move it around.
Spoiler alert, I went ahead and finished the whole thing.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're going to do three issues this time and three the second time. Couple of more things real quick about the socials. I mentioned last time that I saw someone who had made a painted miniature of Barney. Come to find out.
Oh, my gosh, I love Barney.
Yeah, yeah, you're a Barney fan, right? You know what's funny? They make Barney t-shirts, and now we know who to get one for.
Well, I had a dog named Barney. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It was just kind of funny.
Was he two-headed and radioactive?
No, but he was not the nicest dog.
Oh, well, Barney's pretty nice to his
friends,
to people that he cares about, you know. One thing, though, I said on the last episode that on the Facebook, someone had painted a miniature of Barney, like a two-headed radioactive dog, and posted a picture of it. Come to find out, because I started talking to the gentleman, he's from our part of the country, and it was not a miniature, it was an action figure, because then after that, same guy, so if you haven't seen this, you have to go to join the Facebook group and go check this out, or go on Instagram and check it out. It was actually action figures. There was like G.I. Joe Classified and Marvel Legends action figures, I think, that he said he had used to do it. And he actually had a Geiger action figure with Barney. And then he stepped it up where he had this like glow light thing where he flipped the lights off and it actually looked like he transformed. So it was super cool. One more reason to join the Facebook group to check out stuff like that. You know, these books are so new and people are still doing stuff like that. One only other thing on the socials, you know, we don't talk a lot about variant covers or value of things on these episodes unless we're going to have like a speculator specific one. But every Sunday we do a little Speculator Sunday video on Instagram, and we're only talking about Ghost Machine books. So check that out. The last one we talked about the Geiger 80-page giant, which has been really, really flying off the shelves and the auctions. Speaking of which, I went to my local comic book shop, as I do every week, and I asked them, you know, how's Ghost Machine selling? And they said that a lot of people bought Geiger because they knew it. And then they came back a week later and they bought Red Goat and they bought Rook Exodus because they were like, huh, these guys are making more stuff at Ghost Machine. That's pretty cool. I also asked them, are there a lot of people coming in asking for a Geiger 80-page giant? And he said, absolutely. Basically, everybody that came in looking for Ghost Machine is also asking about a Geiger 80-page giant. Because that's the first appearance of Redcoat. Redcoat's ongoing series just got underway. way. The still Geiger number one, like the book we're about to talk about, and Geiger number six, a second print, that first cover appearance of Junkyard Joe, those books are going to be valuable, but they're not heating up as fast as the Geiger 80-page giant, so I'd keep your eye on those as well. I think that means it's about time for us to talk about Geiger. So before we don't summarize, you know, we like to have a little bit of fun around here. But what are your first impressions as someone who's never read any Ghost Machine? Oh, by the way, if you notice, the cover of your book says Mad Ghost. It does not say Ghost Machine. Did you notice
that? I did. While you were talking and it was on your computer screen, I was 100% looking at that.
Well, the reason is, since this came out in 2021, at the time, it's an Image comic. And so Image Comics all have their own independent publishing houses within Image Comics. This Jeff Johns guy started one called Mad Ghost. And it was just him and these other creators at the time, is my understanding. And then as they made more comics, a lot of other people became interested, which is why they have now changed to the moniker Ghost Machine. And that is why they're releasing a lot of other creator-driven books that are not connected to this particular universe, which is called The Unnamed. But you don't have to worry about the other unnamed stuff. For now, we're just going to talk about Tariq and how awesome Tariq is. Before we dive into the book, what are just first impressions, new reader?
Of everything I read?
Just of, like, the type of book that this is. How does this feel compared to other comic books you've read in the past? What are your impressions of the art?
I thought the art was fantastic. I quite enjoyed it. I will read more, which is why, as we said earlier, I went several pages ahead of what I was supposed to read. Like, even from the beginning, you can tell it's going... Well, maybe I'm very wrong because more people know about this than me, but it seems like you really learn to like the character. Like, he's trying to shut himself off, and then he's helping the kids, and there's a pretty despicable bad guy. There were parts of it that I felt they did a good job of keeping him mysterious, like to someone like me who hasn't read it before. But no, I mean, I quite enjoyed it. Kind of sad.
Yeah, Jeff Johns, that guy that we talked about, he has a habit of writing sad things.
It elicited some emotion as we talked about that stupid Prince guy that I don't like.
Oh, the Joffrey clone?
Oh, he's so awful.
Yeah, the king of Camelot in the book, he's a lot like Joffrey.
But I mean, I think that they did a good job of, through the comic... making you feel those emotions so negatively towards this Prince character. I mean, that takes art.
Yeah, absolutely. That reminds me that this is the perfect time to say, if you have not, I'm not sure how that you would end up here, but if you had not read Geiger Volume 1, please pause the... It's important. You got to go read it. You're not going to enjoy what we're going to talk about.
You asked me how I felt about it, and I instantly just started spoiling it.
No, you didn't. You got to the cusp, and you didn't go over the edge. You were at the precipice of it, and you did not. Everything is fine. So this is a great time to pause the podcast. If you haven't read it, go read it. This is a series that is still very easy to get, or you can read it on Comixology. That being said, it sounds like, you know, initial impressions are good, even though, yes, I agree, this is a sad story. How did you feel about the way in which they set the tone with the news stories in the beginning?
The president declared he would not fire unless fired upon, but this revolt is unprecedented.
The unexplainable metal monolith found at the site of the skirmish at Island Mound began vibrating earlier today.
Sad news from Indiana now. Maury Muddy Davis, the Vietnam veteran and recluse cartoonist who created the beloved Junkyard Joe strip, has died at the age of 77.
Marks his second book on strange hauntings in the White House. Despite being dubbed a work of fiction by officials, the author once again finds herself the subject of an FBI investigation.
Scandal coming out of the Pentagon as declassified files on the 1997 Widows bombing reveal an explosive tie to an American hero.
Interrupt, but we're being told tracking systems have triggered incoming alerts across the country.
After months of global violence, it is unknown who has started this war.
They felt really real. not to sound like an alarmist or anything, like it feels like this is something that could happen within our lifetimes.
So you're talking about the different types of news stories, like bombings and revolts and stuff in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's a very interesting thing, because you're reading it more of like a novel reader. I'm reading it as a comic book reader, and I read every single one of those as a different story thread that we're now going to learn about. And I read that as saying, holy cow, this isn't a book just about a guy. This is a book that's going to be about establishing a universe. Because you're right. I totally get it, what you're saying. And I think you're right. But comic books have always been a reflection of current time.
Do you know what I thought was pretty interesting, though? Like, it's July 4th. Did you pick that up?
I've read this book like four times.
It's July 4th when this happens.
How did you...
Is it because on the calendar, the 1st, the 2nd, the 3rd is crossed off.
Oh my gosh.
I'm assuming the C means chemo. He has chemo every other Tuesday. I'm telling you, I may not read a lot of comics, but I like to look at the images and everything.
But isn't that so cool that that detail, that's something that is in a script?
Huh?
I didn't notice that.
Huh?
I feel like such a noob. Wow, that's really cool. I didn't know that this happened on July 4th.
I mean, I'm assuming that's why they put those X's there to show, like...
So that's my point. There's so much detail in this. So you're making a... I didn't even notice that. But they're pointing out things like this, when they say, like, that skirmish at Island Mound thing, or the haunting at the White House. Like, those are all very specific details. They're not spitting out random, like, catastrophes. So that's exciting to me. Like, and it's what's cool is... Since then, we have learned a lot about some of these things, and we have not heard about others. So we know there are going to be stories coming out about things like the metal monolith and all that. But we also know all about Junkyard Joe. So this happened on July 4th. I did not notice that. And I didn't notice the C's. I would say that's definitely for Tariq's chemo. So let's establish that. Okay, he has cancer. He's going through chemo treatments. But
did I spoil again?
No, we said that they had to do it. No. That was good. He obviously has cancer. And so, like, we're not just summarizing. We're going through
it. So we're establishing with anyone listening to this that I am incapable of not spoiling.
You're allowed to spoil it. We're talking
podcast.
Tom Holland. He's a spoiler?
Oh, yeah. Roll bad.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He had, multiple times.
Oh, like in the movies?
Yeah, he would give away, like, some of the secrets. Like, he gave away that the other Spider-Men were going to be in Spider-Man.
Oh, whatever. Somebody probably told him to do that and pretend like he messed up.
No, I don't really think so. They get in trouble for that.
Okay. He's in trouble. Big trouble. So, Tariq has cancer. And the news flash that they're sending us here makes it sound like there's a war that's begun. And nobody knows what has happened or why. And it's a milestone on the timeline of the unnamed, which is something that you're going to see later as you're introduced to more characters, that in the year 2030 is when the unknown war begins. And then we have a panel where we see, you know, something shot off into the air, and their dog, I think Molly, is barking at it. And then we have the neighbors who see Tariq going into the shelter that he's built, because he built the bomb shelter. Tariq predicted that this kind of thing was coming for whatever reason. And he built the bomb shelter for his family. And he tells them to go in because his neighbors are coming at them with loaded weapons, saying that they want to take that shelter from them. And he tells them to go in because he gets shot in the leg and he can't make it.
You know what I find interesting?
What?
Is these two idiots' biggest threat was you do it or you die. Like open that door. Like, they're going to share the bunker with him.
Yeah. Oh,
in all actuality, he would have died anyway. So, like, I feel it just shows how stupid the people are who are trying to take his bunker from him. I just think they're idiots.
Yeah, they are. And he, you know, he gets his wife and son and daughter inside the bunker. He doesn't make it. The bombs go off, and then we see him kind of like evaporate, and then we're taken to 20 years later. But what you notice right away is you're back in the same place, Boulder City, Nevada. And they establish pretty quickly that this is some sort of post-apocalyptia, and now we're in the year 2050.
He's worked out a lot these last 20 years.
Well, that's actually...
Got some muscles.
That's something that they explore further in later issues. They explain why he, when he gained his powers, it was as a result of the experimental chemo treatments that he was taking. Like the treatment between the machine they were putting him on and the treatments themselves.
Well, I just thought he was working out and reading books.
He probably was, but what they're basically saying is that he looks really thin before the explosion, right? Before mm-hmm. The bombs go off and the radioactivity interacts with his physiology and the chemo treatment and the tech that had been used on him, and it like empowered him. And they actually do say later when he tells you his origin story more, which we won't spoil, that it actually healed him, you know, to an extent. And that's why he's like that, even though all he can eat is apparently beans.
I read the whole thing.
Yeah. All right. Well,
you're not spoiling it for me.
There you go. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. So these dudes with suits walk up. It's pretty quickly established. They're like, he doesn't have a suit on. There's something different about him. And then they're like, oh, is he the glowing man? No, he couldn't be. He's not 15 feet tall. And they just start shooting at this guy. And he's just done with it. He jumps off this huge wall. What'd you think of that wall, Snoggle?
It was creepy.
The wall of cars?
Yeah. Again, here's where I see three idiots approaching a wall. That, to me, reads either someone's going to kill me or they're going to eat me. Like, I would have turned around instantly if I was them. Because I'm thinking, like, apocalyptic-type universe. You got a wall filled of crushed-up cars. I mean, it's super cool. But if I'm those three, I would have left, and then they're surprised they get beat up.
And they do. And that's... But isn't it cool how he beats them all up without using his powers?
Yeah.
Because that, to me, is the way that Geoff Johns and Gary Frank are trying to show you he is skilled and merciful. Because then what happens is he does take his rods out for the first time. Those boron rods. You don't know that they're boron yet. You'll learn that later. Oh, did they get to that part?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if that was in this one or Geiger Ground Zero, which is another one about his origin. And so he scares him away and he sees Barney. We see Barney for the first time. Your favorite character. What's that like? Tell us about Barney.
Oh, the most adorable dog. I just think, like, for a two-headed dog, it's very endearing. It's obviously, like, his only best friend. And something that should be scary to me is just the most adorable thing. Which I'm sure is not what they were going for, but I really like that character.
You know, it's funny, Ghost Machine fans, she hasn't read Geiger 80-Page Giant, which I believe includes the short story How He Met Barney. So she has no idea how cute Barney can be. Because he didn't find him as a full-size wolf.
He found him as a puppy. They said that. I want to see him as a puppy.
Well, that's in that other book.
Like, I don't know if my iPad correlates to the actual pages in, like, the comic. But on page 26, just this, like, cute little face. Oh. Faces.
Yeah, the two little faces. Like, that's when they're in their house about to eat some more delicious beans, right?
Oh, yeah.
You'll also come to learn that in the Ghost Machine universe, almost everybody has to eat canned goods. It's every series it happens. It's kind of interesting. So a little nugget, a little Easter egg, something that you notice, but you don't understand the meaning of until a later time, is that he walks past a headstone that says, Dr. Molotov, rest in peace. And he tells Barney, it's good that those guys ran away because there's been too much death around here anyway. Buried too many people out here. And so you see that headstone and you're thinking, oh, that's the guy that helped him. You don't find out what really happened until later, but it's actually not that guy. I don't want to ruin it for you. We'll get there. Just put that one in there, in the back of your mind, little nugget, that Dr. Molotov is not the dude that gave him the rods. So they have in there the beans. It's the first instance of the beans. There's a reoccurring bean theme in Geiger. And then we got our first glimpse of Las Vegas circa 2050, which is in the Camelot Casino. And that's also when we meet your favorite character, Joffrey.
I just hate that little man. Does he have a real name?
They just call him the king until later.
Oh.
Until later. I believe that when Mom comes back, she refers to him as Jeremy.
He looks like a Jeremy.
I know. I was going to say that, but then I felt bad because I'm sure I've known some nice Jeremys.
I'm sure there are some out there.
There's probably
there's a reason we call me Snoggles.
Yeah.
And not Becky.
Yeah, that's right. Don't worry, Jeremy. You're not like a Becky, though.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. So don't take offense.
It's just like, again, first impression, the artwork makes me, like, it portrays how much I loathe this person. You never questioned my father when you served him. Like, he's throwing a little tantrum like a child.
Mm-hmm. You know, he also says, like, start this entire giant painting of me all over because it's all wrong. For me, when I was reading that, my first thought was, who's his father? And then we do learn that as the story goes on. But what's cool about that is it looks like it's in a castle. And then the camera zooms out and then it zooms out again. And we realize, holy cow, it's Las Vegas in this post-nuclear world. Because there's all these tunnels connecting everything. Because people can't be exposed to the air. But for some reason, like, all these casinos in Las Vegas are being maintained in the classic way that they were, you know, like now, for all intents and purposes. So it makes you wonder, like, oh my gosh, what's this world going to be? It's not just another story about burned up towns in the desert after nuclear war. It's the Mad Ghost at the time spin on that.
I like it when things get me hooked to what's going to happen next. But like the first page, you said your first thought was, who's his dad? My first thought was, are there going to be dragons?
Because of the painting on the wall.
I was like, I mean, there's nuclear. There's a lot going on. Dragons are not out of the realm of possibility.
Sure.
And then, obviously, I hated him by the second page, hated him more by the third. And then I was like, they're in Vegas, which makes me hate him even more.
Yeah, I'm not a Vegas fan myself.
I'm coming for you, glowing man. Like, what does he think he's going to do? He perms his hair or something.
Well, we find out what he's going to do. And we find out more about Vegas right away as issue two starts. Because there's this couple on a motorcycle. And they're driving up to Las Vegas, and one of them's even like, Vegas, baby, in the classic way. They even have, like, motorcycle-esque suits on that keep them, you know, separate from the air. So they get there, and even their suits, like, are everything, you don't know why yet, because you haven't read Geiger Ground Zero, but they can't, suffice it to say, they can't breathe the air because there is radioactivity in the actual air.
I mean, there can be some pretty good assumptions just because, you know, I think nuclear warfare total across the planet would be bad.
Right. But depending on the setting, like, you don't always see in a lot of post-apocalyptic environments that you need a full suit everywhere. And in this world, they're trying to say everywhere you got to have a suit on if you're in the air. Like, so then you're inside of what's obviously like an elaborate casino. And you begin to be introduced to the super douchey nuclear knight guys. One of whom will later become Tariq's Sancho Panza, which is Nate. We won't ruin anything for Snoggles on that, but for those who know what I'm talking about, this is when you first see those nuclear knights. And there's one named Hazmat and one named Warhead. Hazmat is like the more commander type dude or whatever, and he's playing craps. So these people are literally like living some sort of casino life in this propped up economy where everything is really just based on these warlords of Las Vegas, the owners of each of these casinos that control the resources. And it's almost like they're playing a game within a game. It's weird.
I'll give him one thing. He has a pretty solid mustache.
Oh, all of them. Yeah. All the nuclear knights do.
A lot has happened in the last 20 years where people can't even walk outside with a suit and they are just... They can trim their mustaches and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The wealthy can do what the wealthy can do. And then those who have not, obviously that's not the case, which we start to see right here. And we see Carolina, who is like a waitress or server or something in this casino. And she's talking about her daughter and son and how she hopes that, like, they won't have to do these horrible things in this horrible society when they grow up. Let's just leave it at that. But it quite immediately establishes a class system is in play. And some of these people are like workers or servant type folks or lower class folks that don't make any money in this wild environment. And then there's other people like Hazmat. And so these people that were on the motorcycle that show up in these snazzy duds and are super excited to be there and want to talk to the king because they said they found his holy grail are saying that they found the nuclear football. And it's obviously something that's really important. That's all that we know. We know that the Oregon people out east scavenged it from Air Force One and they didn't know what it was and they traded them a heart for it. We'll learn more about the Oregon people later. They're awesome. There's a little bit more
awesome
about them.
Awesome's an interesting.
Well, they're awesomely drawn. Like they look awesome.
First of all, completely ignores the amazing prize that is given to him that's going to make them tons of riches and blah, blah, blah. Sets it down next to him. So she's obviously like, I'm going to take this. But let's discuss the bar wench who's going to obviously tell on her.
Yeah. She watches her walk away after she was chatting with her. And so then we see her go back into her like apartment deal there. And she's immediately saying to her children, Haley and Henry, they got to pack their stuff and we got to go because she's got something that is going to pay their ticket out of here and that they have a map. And on that map is the last place where the American government is still in control. And that's a place called NORAD. She says she's even got a key to a vehicle in the garage so they can get out of there. And she thinks that with what she has in that purple bag that they can make it. But in busts Hazmat.
I mean, first of all, he kills violent. Her.
This is another one where it's like, okay, Geoff Johns, oh, you know, like they could have just gotten separated.
For story purposes, this is going to sound awful, but she had to die. they had to go on forth to be saved later. But I mean, the sword, was it necessary? No. Right. Which makes me dislike this man. I do think where it's showing him give her the sword, their eyes kind of watching it happen, that's scary. The son being like, Mom, but they seem to hit him with the Drano.
Yeah, they get away all the way out to an
goodness.
Elevator.
Well, I think it also shows that this is a society where you can't easily just like cell phone somebody up. Because they never would have gotten away if this was in like a casino in Las Vegas right now. They probably couldn't easily leave the building.
Oh, you mean like in the current era?
Yeah.
Because people would...
just pick up the phone.
Pick up the phone and call the cops. Or yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It is pretty impressive what they pull off, considering the type of environment that you know that they're in and how threatening it is. They make it to the bottom of that elevator. It looks like...
stole a car. Like a really sweet car.
Is that like a fancy Bentley?
I am assuming this young girl has never driven a car. So, you know, there's a lot of miraculous things going on with this escape, but good for them.
Henry asks her, do you know how to drive? And she says, I've watched a lot of videos. So there you go.
That's what I'm saying. It's awesome.
So they do get out. They get away. Nobody catches them. There's presumably nobody behind them yet. And they get attacked by what we know as the Nightcrawlers. Nightcrawlers look to be giant bugs.
They're giant ants.
Giant. It's horrifying. Yeah, they do look like ants. See, there's another one. You got July 4th. You got C for chemo. And they look like giant ants. I never looked at the Nightcrawlers that closely. I was thinking just random bugs. But those are very specifically ants.
They are. Yeah. They're scary.
Yep.
But you know who saves them.
You do.
My dude, Barney.
Your favorite character. And this is an important moment. You see when Barney's two heads rip a giant ant Nightcrawler?
Oh, that's so cool.
So in that moment... you remember that. Remember that he bit into a radioactive creature. Notice he doesn't continue to eat it. We'll just leave it at that. Because there's something that happens like 11 issues later. And it was like a very specific detail. Just put a pin in it. We'll revisit a later date.
When you just said what you said, it gave me fear in my heart that him biting this ant creature in half was somehow going to lead to his future demise.
No.
And if so, I'm going to be pretty upset.
No, and it's not that. It's that there's something later that's a very specific detail about his diet. That it's like, why is that in there? And that detail is probably going to one day lead to him dying. So that's just my thought.
The beans?
That's why he has to eat beans. He can't eat radioactive stuff. This is also one of those cool moments you know, Tariq saves them. He does end up partially transforming.
Saves him and scolds him. So even after 20 years, he's still dead.
He scolds him?
You shouldn't be outside. Like, they don't know that. It's like such a dad thing to do.
Yeah, like, you guys were out here playing with these giant bugs, these giant radioactive bugs, and you shouldn't have been doing that. No. What's funny is he says, do you have any good books on you? Because we've seen how large his collection of books is.
Mm-hmm.
And here's when the continuity gets a little wonky, because we go back to the Camelot scene as if it's been accelerated. And this was your favorite panel. Like, when you saw this panel sitting on the couch, you turned that tablet to me and you said, oh my gosh, this is a handsome man.
No, I said, that is horrifying.
Yeah, isn't that art amazing?
I mean, yes. I can feel the ick.
You know who made you feel that ick? It was it was comic Brad. It was Brad Anderson that made you feel that ick. I love you, Gary Frank, obviously. But the reason you feel that ick is those colors. Look at the two different eyes on that panel. We're talking about the splash page panel of the King of Camelot where he says, bring me my mask.
Which somehow makes him even more horrifying. That's like a serial killer mask. And he's a wimp. But now I'm afraid of his just horrifying face.
Yep. He puts this mask on that's very Phantom of the Opera-ish, although it covers his whole face. And the reason for that, he's got all this radioactive stuff on him. But we've jumped in the timeline. So we've jumped from Tariq saving Haley and Henry to the king having some sort of radioactive damage on his face that he didn't previously have. So there's a gap there. That's a little jarring for a new reader, but the next issue does clarify it. And then we see him put on his mask, and he's going to go to a different casino, because all of the people in charge in Las Vegas, they're called the Warlords of Las Vegas in the continuity, and each one of them runs a casino. And this one is called the Manhattan.
And I like the vibes far more than the Camelot thing is like, ugh, those people are the worst. And obviously, I know nothing about these warlords and whatnot.
You really like the vibe in there. I know what you mean. You know, it's a completely different thing, and it's got like the Statue of Liberty in the middle of it. It looks like there's the bouncers and the people in there are in tuxedos. And this character that then gets introduced on the last panel, another beautiful Gary Frank splash page, is a character that I thought you would like the most. And it's a character I like a lot. One of my favorites, and her name is Bonnie Borden, and so she is the female warlord that runs the Manhattan. And I just love, you know, what she says.
Make it snappy. I got things to do.
Yeah, I bet she snapped at him. I bet she did. But what's that vibe that you get from that? That's so cool to me.
Again, not knowing anything about the future, right? This is my beginnings. I like her instantly. Even if she turns out to be a villain, I feel like she's a villain I'm going to enjoy knowing about.
What I've found is that in Geiger, pretty much everybody other than Tariq and Barney are villains, for all intents and purposes.
So she is a villain. It kind of makes sense, though, because in this open, like, I like to zoom in on things. And that scarf around her neck has, like, an actual head.
What? No way.
Yeah. Like, you see the point there?
Oh, it's like an animal
head. Yeah, it's like an animal.
Yes, an animal head. Yes, absolutely.
So it's, like, Lux, but also, like, kind of creepy.
Kind of creepy. Well, I'm not saying she's a villain.
Oh, I'm certain she is a villain. I mean, look at her. She's smoking a cig. On her long little... She's Cruella De Vil. She's a hot Cruella De Vil. Oh, no, that's not... Well, yeah, Cruella De Vil has one of those, too. But the Rescuers?
The Rescuers.
Yeah, that lady. They always have, the stick that has a cigarette on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
No nice person smokes their cigarettes at the end of a stick. She's bad.
Right. You're absolutely right.
Wearing a dead animal around her neck.
That's hilarious.
She's bad, but I like the vibe.
Well, you're going to continue to like her. She doesn't appear a ton, but in every appearance she does have, I've enjoyed her probably the most of the different characters from Las Vegas. And then we have our third issue, which is going to be the last one that we're going to talk about today, because obviously these are dense and we want to be able to devote the proper amount of time to them. The beginning of this issue, they reference Tariq's treatment. And because we see a flashback to him and Tracy talking to the doctor, and he says, this form of systemic radioisotope therapy is admittedly experimental, Tracy. And so that's it. I mean, that's part what they say is what allowed him to transform when those bombs went off that day. Now, at first, he tells Haley and Henry to just like go away. See, this is where the continuity is a little confusing because it switches. It's all at night. But we've got a night where he's with Haley and Henry, and then it switches to the night where the king's men come and attack him. And that's two different instances of time. At first, we see him like basically telling Haley and Henry. I get it. It's because they tell him that they say to him that the knights are after them, and then he starts to think about the knights.
Yeah. During this entire thing, I think it's kind of flashbacks in his memory. Mm-hmm. So I can see why the time might be confusing, but it feels like this is all happening with him, you know, talking to them, crying after this bug thing, because he's thinking about his kids who he does not have with him right now. And it also makes him think about the knights who literally just crushed his world in these scenes to come where, you know, Jeremy. The worst. Jeremy is what I'm going to call him.
There you go.
I mean, I think it's all kind of happening all at once.
Right. So there he rescues them from the Nightcrawlers. He tells them to just go back to Las Vegas or whatever. He's not going to take care of them. And then they say, well, the Knights of Camelot, they killed our mom. And that makes him begin to think about his family, to your point. Then that also makes him start to think about his last encounter with those Knights. Which makes us understand that this event occurs after the thing that with the Knights, which is next. And that's that he gets attacked. They do get the drop on him, which is the first time that we get an indication. The way they get a drop on him is there's an explosion and he's not in his radioactive form and he gets knocked out. That's the first time that we see that can happen. We do see it happen again later. He gets hit in the back of the head with a butt of a gun and gets knocked out. So that's presumably, if somebody had the drop on him like this, they could kill him if he didn't have the rods out. And we see that the Knights have him unconscious. He's basically ignoring them. And this is an absolutely pivotal moment. There's one more despicable thing about the king. He says he wants them to hold Geiger's head down because it might take a few swings for him to chop it off. And then this other dude notices that there's a bunker there. And all of a sudden, Tariq is like, no. Don't go anywhere near there. And it's a defining moment for this character. It's an absolutely pivotal time. It changes everything, what happens here. Everything. They put C4 on that bunker. They blow it wide open. And inside, I mean, the panel speaks for itself. It says there's nothing inside. Nothing worth anything. Just a bunch of skeletons. And then even the king guy, Jeremy. I think we should stick with your Jeremy.
Yeah, it works, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, his face is just so unlikable. And, small note, they had to really design their little hazmat suits. Yes. And they look like turds. Like, you can just tell they're unlikable.
Yeah, like you put all this effort into this hazardous suit, then you had to look like an actual knight of Camelot.
You know how cool I would look if I had to, like, design hazmat suit?
What would your hazmat suit be?
Yeah, wouldn't look cool. It would be functional. Actually, if this all happened, I'd probably be dead.
Well, that's possible. Most of us would probably be dead statistically, I think.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know yet. We don't know much about the world outside of Las Vegas.
Who knows? Who knows? Yeah.
And even in the other unnamed stories, most of them take place in other time periods. So we don't actually know much more about the war yet. We do see a brief flashback, just one panel, where a doctor, it's Dr. Molotov, says to him, I can help you. The vest will contain the radioactivity provided the rods stay fastened. Only remove them in an emergency because you are a superhero now. And then Jeremy realizes that Tariq was there that whole time guarding what he calls a grave. He says, you've been protecting a grave, the horrible glowing man. And then we find out why that panel that Snoggle loved so much came to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because after he takes down a couple of them, he puts his hand right through the face mask of the king's suit and messes him up. He looks like Two-Face now.
That end panel where you can see that his hand is able to just like straight up go through the suit. I just think that's really cool artwork. And it says, shh.
Yeah. And immediately after it, you have a panel where the king's eyes and nose and eyebrows are in the same position.
Oh, yeah.
Just with the scarring.
It's an interesting move that he scarred him, but didn't just kill him. It right. shows a lot about his character.
I don't know if that's ever specified as to why he didn't just kill him.
Because he could have. He could have easily killed him.
Yeah, that's a good point. You'd think he would have just killed them all in that moment of realization that his family wasn't in there anymore. The very last page is when he decides that he's going to help Haley and Henry. And this is also when something happens that I referenced on the last episode. This cool thing that they do as it's, I don't know if it's considered thematic or not. The king's men are coming and they're in cars and they're getting out of cars and they're obviously going to attack. And there's just a panel that shows Tariq pulling out his rods. Then there's a panel that's green, like radioactivity. And the next panel is a bunch of cars and dead guys. And then Haley and Henry are following him. And it reminds me very much of, spoilers for you, Snoggle, sorry, in the Geiger Ongoing that just came out. No, it's nothing. In the Geiger Ongoing that just came out, how he saves the people in the town. And it doesn't show you the battle. Not at least not all of it. It just has that one panel that says Geiger, and then that beautiful splash page where everybody's just on the ground, and the one guy's riding off on his horse that he got knocked off of. And that's the first three issues of Geiger, Volume 1. It has been an absolute pleasure doing our first podcast together, Snoggles. We survived the experience.
I think we thrived.
And if you want to tell us what you thought about how we did, shoot us an email at ghostmachinefans@gmail.com. Make sure to check out the Instagram where we post all this kind of stuff and updates. It has been a pleasure to have so many different Ghost Machine creators say hi to us on there and comment and share our things. Don't forget to check out www.ghostmachinefans.com where we do have a wiki and some forums. The wiki can use plenty of contributors. You're welcome to help. And the forums have started to get a little bit of activity. I appreciate everybody else who wanted to live in 2005 like me. So much love to everybody out there. Do you have any closing words, Snoggle?
That's a lot of pressure.
There it is. We'll catch you as the music rolls. We'll catch you next time on the Ghost Machine Fans Podcast.
Podcast.
Keep an app. Ha ha ha.